Mini episode 732 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Revelation Fight Organization. Follow them on the web at facebook.com/RFOMMA. Give them a like.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Jake Digman, your FDH Lounge dignitaries. That would be FDH MMA editor Jake Digman.
I'm an editor?
Yeah.
When did I get this title?
I just announced this in real time.
That's fantastic. I've been promoted, everybody.
That's how I roll. Yeah, I just announced it in real time.
I went from a correspondence to an editor.
Editor. Well, I didn't think to make it editor earlier. Honestly, that was my shortcoming mentally. Had I thought to do it, I would have done it. But we are here today talking MMA specifically on this. And we're calling this Witness to a Dream because going back through the earliest days of your ring announcing career here on America's North Coast, here in the land, you've got a lot of friends out there. You've been tight with a lot of the guys that you have not only ring announced for, but worked behind the scenes with, helping to promote, whatever. And a lot of these guys. And there's one guy in particular, and he has gone on and become the heavyweight champion of the world. But as I've said to a couple people, just from hearing you talk about him over the years, it's like he's Stipe Miocic, he's the world heavyweight champion, he's now this public figure, whatever, but like half of me just thinks of him as Jake's friend Stipe, because like I just remember you over the years, you're talking about, the, you know, he's going places and he's whatever. I mean, I wanted to get inside your head. I wanted to do a segment
that
here
be
because
dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous territory. Parental guidance is suggested, children, but you know, we all have friends that talk about stuff and have big dreams and whatever, and you know, you've sat there and you've described many times being out and hanging out with Stipe, whatever, and you've heard the hopes and dreams, whatever. To hear somebody talk about, I'm going to go out and become the heavyweight champion of the world, and then they go do it. That's why I wanted to talk to you. That's why I wanted to do this segment. Your perspective on this has to be very, very unique.
I'm very blessed in my life in of that I've said to myself that if I write my life story is to be called Brushes with Greatness, just because I have had the opportunity to meet and become friends with or just meet or just mingle with and communicate with people that have gone on not just to do good things, that have gone on to do amazing things. Going all the way back to my high school years, mm-hmm. the little freshman on our basketball team that could dunk that went on to become LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, passed the same halls and stuff like that. From there, going into, you know, broadcasting school and meeting a little wrestling nerd at broadcasting school who went on to become who was Ryan Ward, who went on to become the head writer now of WWE SmackDown. And now meeting a goofball with a big head, literally, his not an ego, his head is huge.
Right.
To meet this guy that's like, you know, that we knew was going to be good and watching from his first fight where it's like, that guy's good, to that guy's really good, to that guy's the best. Like, I can legitimately say I am friends with the baddest man on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Which is one of the coolest things ever. But at the same time, I'm also friends with one of the most laid-back, coolest, down-to-earth people on the planet right now. And that being the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. And I don't know, Rick, if you had a chance, I've noticed a lot of the stuff that anything that comes up with him, and anybody who's friends with me on Facebook, you know, you might block me because you get sick of seeing it, but I don't really care. When I see my friends doing good things, you know,
yeah.
I like to share positive energy, put that out there. Good things, positive energy creates more positive energy.
Sure.
And the fact that Stipe walked into an arena with, you know, 45,000 people, I believe, I forgot what the exact number was,
mm-hmm.
and silenced them. He went into Verdum, and I knew, there was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to win. Never. And it was just one of those, like, I mean, it was a matter of when. And there's actually was a great video on Instagram that my friend Chad took of my reaction, and I dropped to my knees, and I'm like, we have a champion! We have a world champion, finally! Like, just to see that, it's like, that's the same guy that after Fight Night in the Flats 4, they kicked him out of the post-fight party because they said it was for fighters only, and he started laughing uncontrollably. That's another really funny Stipe story. we were at an event, and we used to always stay up at the Red Roof Inn after we did our shows at the Nautica back in the day. And there was a bunch of guys. I'd gotten there a little bit late, and there was a bunch of guys from one of the local fight teams, and we'll just leave him anonymously. But, you know, he'd had a few, and he's talking, and he's like, you know, I want to fight for you guys. I want to get in there. I don't care who it is. I want to take them on. I'm like, so anybody that comes up here, any fighter I get, the next person who shows up that's in your weight class, you'll fight them. He's like, yeah, man, I don't care who it is. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to kick butt, and I'll be the champion. I'm like, all right, cool. So the next guy who shows up, he's yours. He goes, you just walk up to him. I don't care. You know what? I'll tell the cops. The guys talk trash to you. As soon as you get out of the car, I want you to go up to him and just say, hey, let him know what's up. He's like, dude, you got this. He was all hyped up, all pumped up and whatnot. Drunk, mind you. So I know it's Stipe showing up because Stipe told me he's on his way. So because we're Independence, he's right down the road.
World-class instigation skills, my friend.
Yes, so good. So he gets out of the car. See, the dude walks up to him, and again, we'll name him, remain anonymous. He walks up to the dude, and he sees Stipe, and he literally backpedals. And mind you, this is in 2007. All right? He literally backpedals, and he's like, that's messed up, Diggs. That's so messed up. So even back then, like, then you know, Stipe just came by because he knew I was in the neighborhood. Just to say bye to say hey. We were texting back and forth. Say, hey, you still here? Like, yeah, I'm hanging out with you. Okay, I'll come by and say hey to you.
Uh-huh.
All right, cool. He had just gotten done working a shift for the fire department or something because he actually wasn't at the fights because he had to work. And by the way, he still, if you've seen his, follow him on. And by the way, follow Stipe Miocic on Instagram.
Right.
Follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Stipe Miocic. Follow him on all the social medias. That was a knock on him, was that he wasn't popular enough. So, and it's interesting. He's a heavyweight champion of the world, and he has less than 200,000 likes on Facebook.
Well,
I don't know what that is.
I've been following, and I tell you what, the thing on there, you talk about that with him still working the fire/paramedic deal, where they kind of hazed him at the station, like had him go out to the road in his uniform wearing the World Heavyweight Championship taking pictures.
Okay, how insane is that? That's the UFC Heavyweight Champion of the world just standing outside of the road waving to people going by. People are like, people driving by is like, who's this idiot?
In his work gear.
In his work gear. Like, who's this guy? It's like, if you didn't know, they'd be like, why is that guy got that
belt? They're thinking it's like belt guy that goes to pro wrestling shows.
It's like, there's no, and the best part is him being him, totally cool doing it.
Right.
Like, totally, like,
good natured, you know.
He made a surprise appearance at the last RFO show we did in Mansfield because John Hawk was
that was amazing. I tried to get a lot of people to watch that. I mean, I knew that had to be so emotional for you to be ring announcing for
him. Well, it was, honestly, I just missed my friend. I haven't seen the big guy in forever.
Right.
So, just, I mean, that was, like, really the first time. Without going into great detail, I'll just say that that was the first time that I'd gotten to work with Stipe and with Strong Style in a very long time, and
sure.
It was long overdue, and I missed a lot of those guys.
Sure.
And it was very cool that, you know, that we got the chance to work together again through everything with trials and tribulations of my career and things that have happened. And I had a very good heart-to-heart conversation with everybody on the team, and for me it was just really awesome to see those guys, and it was like a closure from a dark time in my life that had taken place,
right,
that I needed that closure personally, because I went through a lot of stuff both personally and professionally that you know of. I'm
right.
Not going to delve into all that. You know a lot of the details of it, and it was one of those where I needed, on a personal level, I needed that for me, that I needed to go up and just to say my piece that I needed to say in a very good way, very humbling way. And when, like, we didn't advertise that Stipe was going to be there, because with the RFO, by the way, June 25th, Summit County Fairgrounds, Talmadge, Ohio, we don't like to promote, like, come meet so-and-so.
Right.
That's never been our mantra.
Right.
However, like, that night, the fans that showed up that night, they had no idea Stipe was going to be there. They didn't even know he was there until I went up to him, like, hey, man, can we interview you? And he never even said, no, man, I'm trying, you know. He was so cool. So, like, yeah, man, let's do this. For as soon as we saw each other, in the back corner, I just walked up, like, hey, Stipe, because I always call him Stipe from the first time I screwed up his name. I'm like, and by the way, you could have told me all these years I said your name wrong. For years, it's like, Stipe Miocic. It's like, it's not Stipe Miocic. Okay. He's like, man, I don't care. You know that. Just a big smile and just, you know, just but him being him. And it's just like, it was cool that he came in there and met, like, all those fans down in Mansfield.
Yep.
I mean, that was like, for some of those people, they're going to tell their kids one day they met the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, that he came to this little event and he was there, and everybody that came up to him, not a single no one got turned away. Like, it got to the point where actually I didn't get a picture with Stipe just because I was like, I felt bad because he had all the, and he was so cool, so calm, and really awesome, and a really cool story on him. My friend Mike, he has a, his son Mikey has had a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. He's been in and out of the hospital and whatnot, and it's been a tumultuous time for his family. And he had posted stuff with, like, tubes and stuff and little Mikey, and we started, like, we actually had a campaign to get Mikey a wheelchair lift for his van, and the people at that show, whoever the 50-50 raffle was going to go to benefit to make Mikey mobile. This just shows how awesome the RFO fans are, and I love them from the bottom of my heart. That what they did was they went in and they did that we had a 50-50 raffle. We needed 15 – we needed the lift cost $1,500, and it was the raffle person who won the 50-50 walked with $1,000. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
He turned around and gave it all the money right back and said, here, give that kid – whatever that lift is, get him one step up. The winner was.
That's amazing.
That, which was absolutely awesome. Bringing it back to Stipe, Mike – Mikey's dad, Mike, looked at me. He's like, hey, do you think Steve will come over to take a picture with Mikey? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they go ask him, absolutely. And Stipe's like, of course. So he took his picture with him and whatnot. And then Stipe actually shared that picture on his Facebook and Instagram and everything and gave RFO a plug and was like, hey, I had a great time at RFO this past weekend. He didn't have to do that.
That's
the
awesome.
The fact that he gave us, that just shows the kind of guy that he is. He's such a, the UFC couldn't have a better representative as the champion. And I have a feeling he's going to be a champion for a very long time because he's in his prime of his career.
Yes.
Like, he's 32 years old, I believe. He's in the absolute prime of his career. And it's like, he hasn't, I mean, if you look at all the other contenders, they're all getting up there in age.
Right.
I mean, it's going to take another crop of guys to come through. You know, you got your haters out there. Haters are people I know. They're like, you know, a guy I work with who we get along good. He's a big fan of Cain Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to he made a comment. He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, your boy won, but he's going to lose when he fights Cain. I go, oh, I'm sorry. My friend that I'm friends with is the champion as opposed to the guy you only like because you're the same ethnicity.
That's putting somebody in their place.
And he just looked at me like, again, he's my friend who has been to, I've been to his house.
Right.
And, you know, we've hung out together many times.
Right.
Cain Velasquez doesn't even know that you're alive.
Right.
And he just goes, man, why you gotta be like that, man? I'm like, I'm just keeping it real, bro.
I see a lot of haters that talk about, there are even some a-holes that I think they're just being professional trolls that are acting like it's disrespectful for him to still work the fire EMS job rather than, because like if he was a real dedicated champ, he'd be doing it 24/7. To me, that just shows he doesn't have to. He can do this while, and again, I believe what he says, that that job helps keep him sharp in a lot of the ways and keep him fit and whatever. But he's obviously got enough time when he's not there to go do the training and whatever. But I want to get your thoughts of him going forward in the ring. But still on the personal end here a little bit first, what was cool about the video you shared on Facebook that night, interviewing him in Mansfield, was it was clear how much it meant to you. But it was clear how much it meant to him because for both of you guys, it was full circle. It was you guys had both been there at the very beginning. And here he is. He's about to, and this is how I was describing it to like my friends and stuff when I was telling my dad about it. I'm like, he's about to go to Brazil and have the biggest fight of his life. And he's just like checking off that last full circle thing here, him and Jake, one more time in the ring. And I thought it was so cool.
I hadn't really thought about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those where you don't really think about the moment until it's happening.
That was my sense watching the video.
Because I told Matt, I was like, hey, I want to do the interview with Stipe. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's because usually Matt does the interviews. He's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally cool, man. Whatever you want to do. And it had been so long. It had been like, I just wanted to actually say his name right.
Right.
Because I'd never done it the right way. And I told him that. I'm like, I just want to say his name the right way. And I just want maybe, you know, one more time. And that, like, you know, and there was a little bit more passion into it because I firmly believe in those people in that arena. You feed off the passion of the fans.
Right.
And there was a point in time, I remember, where if he would have walked into that crowd, they would have been like, oh, hey, that's some guy from up north. We don't care. It's like, oh, yeah, that's some guy. And now it's like, you know, through hard work and dedication and whatnot that everybody has seen and just the amount of outpouring of love from those people. They all knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he walked in, they knew who he was. And it's like, that's very cool. And to see those fans being like, you know, like – again, as I said before, like for me personally, it was very cool to be and it was, I guess, you know, full circle. It was very awesome to, you know, one more time just to say that, and hopefully I get a chance to do it again and share some cage time with him again. And, you know,
I'm not Nostradamus, but something tells me you will.
I hope so. It all depends on, you know, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there June 25th. It all depends on what his promotional schedule is.
Oh, I wasn't
like.
Even going to speculate on that, but I was thinking it was a possibility.
I didn't know. We didn't know he was going to be there that day until he was there that day.
Right.
You know, it all depends
on. But he's been popping up in so many places around town, and it's been cool. I still say the city of Cleveland owes him a friggin' parade.
I agree
I'm
with
disappointed
that. I absolutely
that
agree
happen.
With that.
But that tour that he went on that week, and it was really cool. I will tell you this, the night that he came back, let's mention another name from back at the station back in the day, the old Sports Talk Network, our friend Joe Lindway.
Yes.
Lindway's texted me. He actually invited me, but I didn't feel like it was my place to go. And I had a buddy that was over watching hockey with me anyways, a place called Terry's, I guess, where they were all hanging out. And they were having Stipe was having his party there.
Okay.
So as much as I appreciated Joe's invitation, I felt like it would be out of place for me to pop in. But it's Joe texts me a picture of the World Heavyweight Championship sitting in the DJ booth. That's where they wanted to put it when they wanted to get it out of the way.
That's fantastic.
Like, it was just
that
amazing.
That is so fantastic.
But he's popping up all week. The weather lady on Channel 3, I guess, was doing the weather wearing the belt. And here and there, the Cavs game. ESPN really fell down on the job, not showing him out there firing up the Cavs in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. It happened during the commercial, but geez, show the thing. You know, how hard is it to show the thing that just happened there? He hits a home run at the Jake.
Had a home run. That was
I always
great.
Call it the Jake.
That was so great. It's like,
well, Dana White forwarded that on social media, and that's a thing where I honestly believe. And by the way, too, and FoxSports.com, I think, had a great thing of him coming back. I think I actually saw this first. I think you were the one that shared it on Facebook, him coming back at the airport. And he's coming down the escalator, and he's wearing the belt, and the crowd is there, and they're waiting for him. All this stuff, I'm convinced, you know a lot more about the politics and mechanics of the fight game than I do, but I'm convinced early in the week that was like a trial balloon about Cleveland getting UFC 203. I am convinced Dana White was looking with an eagle eye at how this town took to him and the way this town really clenched him to its bosom. I'm convinced that's what cemented
it,
because
sure
by the end of the week.
Yeah, it absolutely it helped. I mean, by far, that was like the final seal of the deal on that one.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good. It's about time.
It's about time.
So long overrated doing these events. And it's going to be so much fun going to this thing, because I know full well it's going to be like a big, giant family reunion of people I'm going to see there that are going to be there that you just mentioned you want to go.
It's
going to be one of those.
I want to try and get tickets. We'll see.
I mean, I remember like when I went to Strikeforce a couple years ago down in Columbus, and that was Strikeforce. And I mean, I went in down there, and like every fifth person I knew. It was like, hey, buddy. So I got to hopefully, like, the UFC experience is going to be a lot like that. And, like, I firmly believe that Stipe has inspired our sports teams in a way. Because, I mean, I'm sure LeBron James, as I mentioned him earlier, you know, I have a loose connection to LeBron.
Sure.
In of, like, you know, I saw LeBron win a championship in high school. I graduated with his manager, Maverick Carter.
Okay.
The architect behind the billion-dollar Nike deal, by the way. Great article on Maverick. It's kind of interesting to see. Again, there's somebody else in my Brushes of Greatness book that I would talk about.
We
were classmates. We sat next to each other. We always got along, had conversations back and forth. I think it's one of those where it's like Stipe winning was one of those where, like, as much as LeBron wanted to be the first, and there are people out there who say that it doesn't count, and I can see I see their argument, because their argument, like the Believe Land thing, it's about, like, you know, because those are the same people who said the force didn't count and the crunch didn't count.
Right.
So it's like, I can see that, but for me personally, I would just personally, I would trade in the Cavs, Indians, and Browns championship combined for my friend being the UFC heavyweight champion. But that's just me. Now, as a grand total of the sum of everybody, you know, what the Cavs are doing and whatnot, and even the Indians to a certain point, they're still kicking butt. You know, they're I don't know how they did today. It was 3-3 last I heard. But I think Stipe winning that and them showing up with that title was a nice little motivator for them to see this and be like, you know, hey, you know, let's go out and do this even more now. You know, we have even more incentive to go out there. We can't let this guy upstage us.
Well, you know, I saw a video that the Browns put out and Hugh Jackson, and you never know how coaches, how seriously they take these drop-ins that they get from the celebrities. You know, but Hugh Jackson, I'm watching this video, and he's just like, this man has done what we are trying to do. This man has gone out and won the World Heavyweight Championship. We are going to try to go out to win the World Championship. So, I mean, directly trying to use it as motivation.
I really want to have faith in our Cleveland Browns so bad. But at the same time, it's like, man, it's like the girlfriend that just keeps, every time you take her back, she cheats on you again.
Well, it's funny because Stipe's words to them were, and he was trying, but it was like super generic of like, you have to believe, and you have to go out there and fight. And it was just like Stipe knows. He's
and
not
speaking
a
of which, you mentioned earlier, like, you know, how the city has gravitated to him. I like how they made the announcement of UFC coming during the Cavs game.
Yeah,
game five of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's smart if you're Dan Gilbert.
Oh, no, it's huge.
The synergy.
Huge.
Yeah.
If Dan Gilbert smells money, he sees what's going on there with everything like that. It's like
the casino is going to have a great weekend when that happens.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's a thing where
Everyone's going to – it's going to be a huge we got the NBA Finals, and we got the Republican Convention, and then, you know, if we still have a city after that, we're going to have the UFC.
Well, and it's a thing, too, where and I've sort of tried to take it on myself to when I'm talking to older people who don't get it as much, to try to explain, like, how big this is. I'm talking to my 100-year-old great-aunt, you know, I'm talking to her, and I was just like, remember what boxing used to be? Like, okay, like, this guy, like, notoriety-wise, like, okay, he's not Ali or Tyson, but he's at least Larry Holmes for doing this. Like, remember when boxing was there? Like, that's a frame of reference people can understand, because boxing is kaput, by and large, as far as that goes. But heavyweight champion of the world, you talked before about baddest man on the planet. When you're the UFC World Heavyweight Champion, now you have that mantle. It's what boxing used to be.
Exactly. And I think also a lot of this stuff, too, and it goes to show with Stipe's, like, Stipe is very popular, but mm-hmm. I don't think a lot more people know about him now than they did beforehand.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, unfortunately, there's a lot of haters out there.
Right.
And it's going to take Stipe winning in his hometown again. Stipe's going to have to win again, and he's going to have to win over more and more people with each fight that he does. I'm absolutely ecstatic as hell that he's the champ and he did it, and there was never a doubt in my mind. I've got no doubt that he's going to beat Overrated. Alistair Overrated. I've got no doubt in my mind that he's going
to
beat Overrated.
It makes me feel good
overrated.
To hear that, because I've been hearing a lot of dangerous things about Overeem and where he's at right now. That makes me feel good to hear you say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the matchup just fine. I think Stipe is going to do just fine against Overeem.
Good.
I mean, I have no doubt in my mind about that. He's going to come in, be prepared mentally, physically. I mean, he knows everything that's going to go on with this. He's going to have the extra pressures of being the champion, and not only being the champion, being the promotional guy in his hometown to build this thing up. But you know what? I remember working with Stipe at Sports Time Ohio, mm-hmm. and going with him and being in the elevator and him asking. It's actually a really great story. Us being on the elevator to go down to the studio, and Stipe, it was myself, Stipe, Taiwan Howard, shout out to Taiwan Howard and Torrance Taylor, shout out to those guys. And he looks at me out of nowhere, and this is like 2007. He's like, "Is my head big?" And I'm like, how do I answer this question? Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, do you have an ego? He's like, no, it's like my head big. I'm like, don't take it off. Out of nowhere, Taiwan goes, your head's flipping huge, dude. He's got like a watermelon up there. And Stipe looks at me and goes, oh, man, is it going to be bigger on TV? I was like, I don't know. He goes, I don't know if I want to do this now. He goes, everyone's going to be like, is Drennan just going to point at my head the whole time and ask me questions about my head? I'm like, you're really self-conscious about this, aren't you? He's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll do this. I'm only doing this because you're asking me to.
See,
it's so ridiculous.
Me being a real dick, you know what I would have said to him? I would have said, well, Stipe, they say the camera adds 10 pounds, and you're going to have four cameras on you.
I think that was the occasion. I'm like, well, you know, I think we said some equivalent. Well, you can just do a wide shot. You'll be fine. It's just very funny. It's one of those, like, what, dude?
Oh,
really?
My God. That is pretty funny. But, you talk about what his chances are and everything. Because in talking to my brother, who is a huge UFC guy, and I've been.
You have a brother?
I'm way more. Yeah, my brother, Mike. shout out to Mike in Atlanta.
Kidding.
Yeah.
I know you have a brother.
Yeah. I was like, I thought you knew that. But, like, why am I going to Atlanta all the time? But, anyways, yeah, I thought you knew that. But, so he's like a big UFC guy. He's like, this is great. Does this mean you're getting more into UFC? I'm like, Well, I'm into Stipe. I'm like, you know, he reps the 216. More importantly, he's Jake's friend, Stipe. And I was like, I'm getting more into it. But, like, I don't know nearly as much on stuff. I have more of the casual sort of perspective. So going into the fight in Brazil, again, I had a lot of respect for Verdum based on everything that I'd known of him. Like I said, I've been hearing scary things about Overeem and where he's at here. I know he's a two-time champ. Your confidence is making me feel better about that. But part of the thing legitimately is what I did know, what I was right about, and what's very interesting in terms of where you say he's going from here is that it almost seemed to be a consensus that where he is on the growth curve, he's still growing. He, relative to where a lot of these guys were, got into this a little bit later. He's still a young guy compared to so many other bigger fighters and stuff. But, I mean, he's still got room to grow because he's still getting better. He's still learning stuff. He's got the athleticism. But the questions going into Brazil were, is he far enough along? Because I saw a lot of stuff where people were like, if this was another year or two, we would say Stipe would do it. But, like, is he far enough along? And he proved he was far enough along to beat Verdum. And that seems to be from
convincingly.
Convincingly.
It wasn't even close.
It was, well, it didn't go on that long.
Well, it was just one shot. Once he caught him with that punch, that was all it took, man.
Well, and
that's his knockout power.
Oh, my God.
Don't forget, Steve is a former Golden Gloves champion.
Knockout punch backpedaling. Well, not only that, I mean, you know, you talk about the athleticism of, what, high school football, college wrestling.
College wrestling.
College baseball.
Yes.
Golden Gloves.
Golden Gloves. Like, I remember, like, there was a point in time when we were doing with NAFS back in the day, and, like, we wanted Stipe on a card so bad, and Marcus wouldn't let him fight MMA for, like, people forget this. He didn't fight MMA for, like, a year and a half, 2 years, because he was focused just on boxing.
Right.
And he's like, he went out and he won the Golden Gloves. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, like, you know, for as much as people in Cleveland talk about he's our Rocky, I mean, maybe he's our Jim Thorpe instead. I mean, he's done, like, a lot of
these
kind of things.
That's the thing, too. Also, like, I remember during a conversation after a couple fights, like, Stipe was, like, this is probably might have been his, like, last amateur fight. And he came up to me and he, like, headbutted me, which, that, by the way, felt as good as you thought it would feel. Let's just say we'd had a couple. We were celebrating that night. And he comes up to me and he goes, boom! He goes, I want a 3-round war. You promised me a 3-round war. I'm like, I never promised you anything. He's like, you said this guy was going to be tough. I'm like, Stipe, you keep killing everybody we put in front of you. No one will fight you. Like, at the point, like, we literally had to, like, find some dude that, like, lived in a cave in, like, Michigan that had no idea who he was. Because we'd offer the fight up, like, hey, okay, you want to be in the featured amateur fight at Fight Night in the Flats? Dude, yeah, you're fighting Stipe. No! Like, every person. Like, we're like, hey, dude, you're, like, you're 4-0. Stipe's 4-0. You got the same record. You want to fight him? No! It's like, it almost got to the point where, like, he was actually going to stay amateur, but no one would fight him. Like, he was, like, forced to go pro because there was no one left.
Well,
and even then, after that, it was like, you know, as a pro, you could see, like, he had the makings of what was going to be. Then the cool thing about him is he's never lost sight of who he is. Like,
right.
Even now, like he was just in the oh, by the way, he had his parade. He was in the,
oh,
was,
yeah.
He didn't have the downtown Cleveland parade, but he was just in the Valley View, whatever.
Right. I mean, like, I meant it should be a parade about him, but
just
I know
him.
What you mean. He was in the Memorial Day
by
parade.
By the way, that would be my favorite parade ever. I just had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about parades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know about you. Okay, I don't mind parades,
mm-hmm.
but here's my thing at a parade. I think it's just instinctively in
See,
me.
See, and I've been in them.
Oh,
know,
so
like,
have
like
I.
Marching
I've been,
band
yeah,
and
I've
stuff,
been in
yeah.
tons of parades. Too, but when I'm watching a parade, even at the Irish parade most recently, whenever I go to a parade, my first instinctive thought is, when is this going to be over? Like, I literally watch the parade going, is this it? Is this it?
You wouldn't
is
this do it if it was Stipe's parade down
no,
9th
no,
Street.
No, I wouldn't be, but it'd be like, the parade would be just him. It'd be the greatest parade ever. It'd be like, just him on a float. You're like, parade's over.
That would be kind of unique.
Like really,
I didn't think
he'd
of it that way.
A float going down, like all the confetti falling out of the building.
I didn't think of it that way. That is,
I mean,
that
I guess,
is
you
kind
know,
of
I
funny.
Guess, I guess everybody else from Strong Style could be walking around the float with him. I mean, there's a team
That's
effort.
True.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, team effort. He'd be the first one to say that, and you know.
Our old buddy Greg Kalikas on his cell phone tweeting Stipe's next deal.
That would be pretty funny. I could picture Greg doing that.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing. But it's a thing where, you know, when you look at everything going forward with him, you know, and again, continuing to work the fire / paramedic job, again, for the very admirable reasons that he likes to help people. It's what he feels good doing. But it's a thing where I was talking about this with my brother, the dichotomy of it, of people talk about this, you look at the like blue collar hero. It's like there's a lot of people that are saying in Cleveland these days, he's our Rocky. But the thing I've noticed is if you look at the racial politics of the 1970s, Rocky sprung up as this was the beginning of the whole Great White Hope thing here. That Rocky was the, you know, relatively unathletic white guy fighting Apollo Creed. I said to my brother, I was like, he's actually a lot more Apollo Creed athletically than he is Rocky Balboa. And my brother's like, you're totally overthinking it. Nobody's thinking of it that
way.
Like,
no one's thinking it that way. The other thing that's interesting, too, though, it's like, who would have thunk it that he actually united two countries? In of the fact, I don't know if you saw like the celebrations in Croatia when he won the title.
Yeah,
like the president of Croatia sent him a congratulatory message.
I can believe
sent
it.
Sent a shout out to him. So it's like the connection between Cleveland and Croatia, two places you never would thought would be united by anything. And like they're both like Croatia views Stipe as like he's their champion. He's not from, I mean, he's been there. His parents, I think, are from there, or his grandparents. I'm not quite sure what it is. I know he's been there. He's Croatian, but it's just so fantastic because like he grew up in Willoughby, Ohio. He's from like East Lake Willoughby area, so it's like he's not. But they just kind of adopted him.
Because I think he went
to... It's kind of like Batista and the Philippines.
That's
like,
right.
Which is a great thing ever. Like, I love Triple H's assessment on that one. He's like, apparently Dave discovered that he's Filipino. I never knew this. And then he became like a superstar. Like Manny Pacquiao is actually from the Philippines.
This is probably racially insensitive on my part, but I always used to make the joke, Dave Batista, world's tallest Filipino.
That's true.
You know, it probably is.
He just decided he was Filipino one day.
You know what? And I'm gonna tease my three buddies, Mo, Lee, and Danny. You know who are the three guys that I haven't seen celebrating Stipe's win? My Serb buddies.
You had to go there, didn't you? You had to go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, transitioning back to positive conversation
before we
go on to a back into the House of Cards political conversation we had in the last episode. By the way, now you got to put this episode out after that one.
You have forced my hand on this.
I have forced your hand. Or you can just edit me out.
That would take work.
Yeah, I don't blame you.